It's Shabbat Mishpatim, and this morning we have the Torah portion following on, of course, from Yitro from last week with the so-called Ten Commandments, the first ten of the many commandments that there are, of course, but that was just the first batch, the headlines that we were hearing from Arthur last week. We're now into the territory beyond that, where things begin to be unpacked a little bit more. The passages this morning came from the Exodus 23:1-13. The Haftarah was from the prophet Jeremiah 34:8-16. And from the Messianic writings was the second letter that was written by Kepha. And that was chapter 1, verses 5-11. It's an interesting scenario that we have. You know, we've just had that wonderful mountain experience, haven't we? The week before, you know, the fire and the smoke on the mountain and everything else is going on around, and, you know, we've been told to get ready for 3 days to meet with the Lord, and the Lord's going to give us His words, His teachings. All of this has just been happening. And there we are sitting in the desert, the wilderness of Paran. Sun scorching over our heads. If you've been in the Negev, you'll know what we're talking about here. This mountain before us, all the fireworks and everything, the miracles that we were seeing, the amazing things that were going on before all our eyes. And then, lo and behold, Moshe, you know, is coming down with the commandments, and lo and behold, all of this, then we begin to hear with a great excitement, think, yes, this is what our spiritual life is going to be now. This is it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Look at all this. Look at what's happening. Ah, isn't it wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? And then the very first words, we're hanging on to Moshe at that point, and then the very first words come out, Ve'eli ha-mishpatim. If you don't know what that means in Hebrew, it means, here's the rules. I'm not sure what's the kind of words I want to hear, right? I don't know, imagine you're coming here for the first time, right? Imagine, you're walking through that Yeshua's doors, and you know, you've come in and it's a wonderful community and the worship has blessed you. It's been so inspiring and the prayers and everything else. You know, and you're wondering, oh wow, you've got to speak to the rabbi afterwards. And you go up to the rabbi and you go, Rabbi, this is amazing. And I go, fantastic. Here's the rules. Right? At that point, I'm wondering in myself, are we actually going to see that person come back another week? Because I don't know about you, if that was me, I'd be thinking, sorry, this is amazing. What? I don't want rules. I know this is lovely. I want to go with the flow, you know? And you want rules. But that's what we hear. There are house rules. There are rules for the nation of Israel. In other words, it's quite interesting, because you can say, here are the rules. Ve'eli ha-mishpatim, by the way, could be translated as, here are the judgments, which gets even worse. Great, it's judgment day, right? It's just what we want, isn't it, at that particular moment in time? And yet, in all of this, in these little words, Ve'eli ha-mishpatim, we can hear the love of God for His people still. Because the one thing He did not want us to feel at all in our spirits and who we were as people, as a nation now being born there on that day, the one thing He did not want us to think that this was going to be a free-for-all, that we could do what we wanted, however we wanted. I mean, we think about the golden calf coming up, you know. There are things even then that we got wrong. And the one thing the Lord wanted us to know was, this is not the way it's meant to be. If you are going to be My people, then you will be My people and not your own. If you belong to the Lord, and every single one of you, I hope this morning sitting here, at least most of you I'm sure, if you belong to the Lord, if you are His this morning, then your lives are not your own. They belong to Him. Have you forgotten so quickly that you were bought with a price? Have you forgotten so quickly that blood was shed, that you could sit here this morning and rejoice in the salvation that God has given you? You've been bought, you have been purchased, you belong to someone else. And if you belong to the God of Israel, your life is not yours, it is His. And therefore, He has the right to say to you, and now, my friend, my beloved, I love you, but I want to protect you, and I will show you how to live. Because you don't know. We think we know. Look at the world around us. It thinks it knows how to live. What a mess that we see. The chaos of humanity. Seriously, we know how to live? And one of the things that the most amazing thing, you know, it's a beautiful scroll that we've got. It's got beautiful Hebrew letters and words all over it. But let's not forget, this at the end of the day is just an object. You've got to listen to it. You've got to respond to it. You've got to take it inside of your spirit. It's got to mean something. It's got to change you. It's not just words. It's something which will bring you life if you connect with it properly. Because it's life that we need. We need to live as God's people in the way that the Lord wants us to live, who we are meant to be. And if we do it His way, what we discover amazingly, His way is of course the only way. His way brings that life. His way brings salvation. But we are meant to be His. And that means the Lord says, I will set you apart. I will consecrate you. I will make you mine. And you'll be different from the people around you. If you're a parent, you'll know this. This is what you do with your children, isn't it? You know what happens? Your child comes in from school, looks over the shoulder, mummy's not here, daddy's over there, picks up a nice big green crayon. Oh, here we go. Straight on the wall, starts writing, doing a bit of a Van Gogh or something on the wall, you know, some beautiful kind of tableau of artistry with a lovely green crayon or whatever, until mummy and daddy come in, of course. And what is mummy and daddy saying? Va'eli ha-mishpatim. These are the rules. Thou shalt not write on my wall. Okay? No, it's not just saying it because it's a joke. It's actually because you know what? Mummy and daddy love the child. There are things you don't want your child to do because you love them. And so you'll tell them to guide them to make sure they don't do stupid things, like writing on the wall is a stupid thing, okay? When the Lord gives us these commandments, He's not trying to ruin the party. He's not trying to spoil our lives. Because it always makes me smile when people come along sometimes and say, you know what, I'm free from all of this. Isn't it wonderful in Yeshua? I could be free from all of these commandments. I'm truly free. I can do what I want. And there instantly, you've got it. I can do what I want. And if the scriptures say anything about the reality of all of this, we are not free to do what you, I, personally want to do. I'm not talking about when you choose to put the kettle on. You know I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the direction of your lives. The decisions, the choices that you make. These things we bring before the Lord. We bring those righteous commandments into our lives. They begin to change us, break us, mold us, take us to places that we'd never even thought about before. Bring challenges into our lives in ways that we've not considered before. And lo and behold, bit by bit by bit, we discover that we are getting changed. Reading a really challenging testimony from someone just recently about this who had an addiction. Quite severe addiction, and they were just saying it just felt like I was never going to get free. And they said, you know, sort of 10, 15 years on and struggling with this to get free from it. And yet the beauty of this testimony this person gave was because of the constant prayer, the constant ministry of working through the mentoring and the being just drenched in the Word of God and the Spirit and understanding of the Lord's work in their lives. But at the end of the 15 years, he said, you know what? I am more free today than I was then. I am a different person because bit by bit by bit, God is changing me. Doesn't always promise things will be instantaneous. Sometimes it does take a while. But the thing is, the bottom line in all of this, if you're serious with walking with the Lord, you take on Va'eli HaMishpatim, you take on these commandments, these mitzvot, you take on these righteous structures into our lives, and bit by bit areas will be challenged as you go along. And each time you hit that wall, that question comes before you, do you do what you want to do, or do you do what He wants you to do? An amazing thing in itself. I mean, just imagine this for one moment, the truth, the reality of all of this. God has actually given us, all of us, people, humanity, as crazy as it seems, He has actually given us the freedom to choose. It's bonkers, actually, if you think about it. Would you do that if you were the Lord? You know, I'd be looking at humanity going, oh, whoa, this dog needs some help. No. We'll remove that choice thing because that's a problem, right? I'll just show them what's a good thing to do and make them do it. And it gives us freedom. Because our God is the God of freedom. He's not a dictator. He's the God of freedom. And he's given us that freedom. And it's a beautiful freedom, because then you come into the freedom of all of this as you now choose to walk in his way. When he says about Eli HaMishpatim, just like the child with the crayon, he could pick it up again and do it again if he wants to. What are you going to do? Chain him somewhere if he doesn't do it? Of course you're not. You're going to break all the crayons and throw them out? No, that's not going to do it either. You can still get one from school and bring it back. The point is, the child ultimately, in the plan of things, you would think, the child thinks, you know what, mummy and daddy don't want me to write on the wall, it's not nice. And they choose not to. Because if it's not got a choice, it's not free. And we choose to serve the Lord. That's the wonder of Israel. It's the beauty of who we are as God's people. A nation, yes, called and chosen by God, but also a nation that has chosen God to be our God, the Lord God of Israel. And we have. You know from the scriptures, you know, when they say to Moses, Moshe said, give him the commands, everything you've taught today, we will say and we will do. The response from the people was not from Moses saying, no, knuckle under. You remember what it was like under Pharaoh? Well, I'm the new Pharaoh of righteousness. Do this. Yeah, he could have done it. But he didn't. We'd known what tyranny was in Egypt, but now we were free. Now we were really free to serve and to do what the Lord wanted us to do. We had known what that awful tyranny was like. But now we were free to make those choices and to make those decisions for him. And it wasn't just for us. It wasn't just for us. We actually had a calling and a task. Do you remember? I think Alistair touched upon this briefly last week, and he said about our calling was meant to be a light to the nations. We were that chosen, special people. And people think, oh great, yes, we're chosen, we're special, we are so wonderful. You know what, I've got news for you, we are not that wonderful. We're just redeemed sinners, right? That's it, we're not that wonderful. God didn't come to you, he didn't walk up to you one day and think, you know what, I think you, I'll call you because you are so perfect. Right? If you did that, by the way, let me know, because I'll have a chat with you, alright? We'll see what we can do. It's reality, isn't it? But it was not just for us. Not just for us, this was. We were meant to do something as Israel. If these commandments were going to come into our lives and change us and make us something special, make us something different, make us something set apart, that means there was a contrast going on. And we were meant to be different, that the nations of the world, as they were blundering in the darkness, trying to work it all out by doing what they wanted to do. The key was that at any of those moments, these people could have looked at us as Israel and thought, they've got it different. There's something else, there's something different going on over there. We say this frequently. If the people around you, when they're looking at you and your life, if they cannot see something that is different about you, then maybe you need to be more on your knees in prayer or reading the scriptures or whatever and seeking God. Because we should be different. We should be seen to be different. We were a nation set apart. The commandments to make us that consecrated nation, reflecting the righteousness of who God is. Each and every commandment, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but each and every commandment, which we're now about to go through as we go through the portions now, when we're looking at all of this, they reflect in some way upon the character and nature of God. So next time someone says to you, I am free of all of these commandments, say, great, you're free from the nature and character of God then, are you? Because if you are not doing this, then you are not leading a life that is connected to the righteousness and values of who Hashem is. It's as serious as that. Because there's always that basic choice which is given us. His way, our way. You choose. Every day, we choose. We make those decisions. Am I going to lie? Or will I choose not to? Will I do X, which might make me financially better off? Or will I do Y and actually take a maybe bit of a financial hit? These are decisions that we face day in, day out, in small and large, They're there every single day. But our God has given us the commandments that actually begin to frame our existence. And as you understand this, and we know from the scriptures, it says, you know, I will take these Torah commandments and write them on your heart. That's what it means to be born again. What it actually means to know the God of Israel, to have this born again experience that we read about there from the prophets, is to have all of this, these commandments written on our hearts, written in our spirits and our souls and our minds, that every single day we are transformed and changed, and if we are confronting these new situations instantaneously, spontaneously in our lives, we know and sense the righteous way of God in every single path. That's who we're meant to be. It's not just a matter of quick reading and reading and reading. That isn't going to do it. You know what? You can read it till the cows come home. You can read every bit of Talmud. You can read the Shulchan Aruch. You can read any other document, Jewish document, and many others beside. Read them all. They are not bad to read. They are not going to change your heart. Only the Spirit of God can change your heart. This is not a new message. And by the way, this is not any other message than a totally Jewish message. It's the God of Israel, with the Jewish Mashiach. The Ruach HaKodesh, if you like, is the Jewish Spirit of God, if you want to see it that way. This is something the God of Israel does for each and every one of us. He takes us and changes us, molds us and breaks us, that more of His righteousness comes out day after day as we walk. And this is what Israel was meant to be. And we said yes to God. We set ourselves apart as a nation, as a people. Not just for ourselves, that each and every one, every nation around us. We said this before with the pillar of cloud and the smoke. You know, why is it with the hugeness? We can't even imagine what it must have looked like going through the Negev. And you know, we could have had a pillar this high. That would have done. It would have done. Right? Why? Because, well, the priests would have been there and the ones behind the priests. You know, maybe they couldn't see the pillar, but it's okay, the priests could see the pillar, the ones carrying everything, they could see the pillar. So the ones behind them, the tribes, you know, we're following the priest and we're going to do this. No, the pillar was huge. It was huge. Not just that the people behind could keep their eyes on the Lord and not just the priests in front of them. There's an interesting point. But not just them, everyone else as well. So you've got all these Gentile peoples and the nations around who are looking at all of this and thinking, what is going on? This didn't happen last week. What is this? This is new. This is new. This isn't a dust storm. Huh? This is different. And what is it when you see a pillar of fire and a cloud? You know, I can imagine the people around were getting really curious. And what do you do when you're curious? You get in, don't you? You start coming in, right? You're knocking on the people's shoulders. What is this? Yeah? Oh, let me introduce you to the God of Israel. He's leading us to the land. He's done this. And by the way, you know, let me tell you what He did while we were in Egypt. It was amazing. Some amazing miracles of redemption and salvation. And you know what? Hopefully by the end of the day, that person is saying, I want to be where you are going. You know what? I'm with you. Right? If this is the God who did all of that, I am where you are. I am on you. That's it. I'm in. We're meant to be different, reflecting the Lord in that way out to people. If this is true for us, in an increasingly dark world around us, we are going to see more and more that people will be pushing in, wanting what we have in this way. And then when you think about it, when you go back to the very beginning of it all, and I'll just highlight this point for you because it's really important. The choice that God has given us, the choice to walk in that righteousness, the choice to walk in that freedom, is truly, truly ours. When we said yes to the Lord, when we accepted the commandments and took them upon ourselves that day to set us apart, something quite powerful happened. It was changing as a nation, but it was changing us from the inside, changing us because we chose. And I keep coming back to this message of the free will and the freedom and the choice is really, really important. What was it that we had at the beginning? Trees. Garden. Adam. Father. Right? And the Lord just said, you can eat any of these you want. Right? Your bananas, your pears, your apples, your grapes, I don't know, your kiwis, whatever else is in the garden. Who knows what was there? Probably everything else and a few things we don't have anymore. He says, you can eat any of these. Oh, but by the way, that one over there, I'd really like, you know what I mean? That's not going to be good for you. Leave that one. Just don't, you know, just don't. If that was me, I'd have been saying, I'd have put like a 6-foot brick wall up with cameras and barbed wire. You know what, if that was me, I'd be thinking, I'd make sure there's not a chance that Adam and Harvard are going to get anywhere near that. But all the Lord does is to give them a choice. Just gives them a choice. And leaves a tree standing. The most dangerous thing you can give to a human being, a choice to make a decision. And as we know from history, we know from the scriptures, we know the consequences of that decision and choice that were made. But the point is that they were free to make it, they did it, they chose, and the consequences came. But here's the irony of all of this, is that all the way through this, what is it that mankind really wants? Control. The power to make choices and decisions. That was given to us at the beginning, and we blew it. We used that choice in the wrong way. Instead of choosing to listen to what the Lord was saying to us, that's not good for you. And there was nothing wrong with the tree. The fruit was perfectly healthy. It had nothing to do with trees and fruit. It had to do with choice. And they chose not to listen to the Lord, but they chose to listen to what? I, self, on the throne. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have? Thought Harvey, you know what? Yes! Imagine if I knew what was good and what was evil. In fact, if I knew what was good and what was evil, then you know what, Lord? Trust me on this. I will always choose the good. Right? Because you all do, don't you? Yes, every one of you, every day. The good is there and you choose it, don't you? Or do you sometimes go, I love that. Do you? Yeah. Be honest. I'm not asking to put your hands up, but be honest, you know. We know who we are as people, as humanity. These are decisions that are there every single day. And so often, we don't choose what we're meant to choose. We don't choose what the Lord has. It goes right back to the beginning and it runs all the way through. But Eliha Mishpatim, these are the ways it's going to be. These are the rules. These are the ordinances, the commandments, says the Lord. And he wants us to choose them because to do so will be for our good. But he's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to force you. He gives them to us. It's a wonderful, awesome gift, this revelation which God has given us here. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But there's no point just looking at it and cooing and ahhing all over it and stroking the velvet. That is not going to help. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. But we want to know. We want control. We want to be the one in the seat, don't we? We want to be the one making the decisions. Oh, we wanted to. Adam, consequently, wanted to. You want to be in control. And then the Lord says, fine, you choose. If you want to be in control, you can choose. Why control is such a bad thing, by the way, actually. People often get very hot under the collar about all of this, and it's a real spiritual thing, and it is. There's a reason to get hot under the collar about it. Control is rebellion against God's rule. Can't put it any more simpler than this. Controlling people. What Pharaoh did to us, what people do, you know, when relationships go wrong, marriages sometimes go wrong on this, controlling, when things go pear-shaped, control so often lies behind it, manipulation, control, domination. But you know, when people begin to do that, what they're saying is, I'm the one who's calling the shots, I know what's right and wrong, and I'm making the decision. And the Lord says, I think you'll find us a higher authority actually than you. But he never forces us. And we see it right at the very end. When Yeshua is living in Israel 2,000 years ago, he's teaching, you know, the so-called Sermon on the Mount. And he's telling us about the reality of the commandments. By the way, if you didn't think there's a connection there is a direct commandment, direct link back to the commandments there from what Yeshua was teaching that day, all the way through. When he's doing all of this, again, you would think, wouldn't you? Yeshua walking amongst us with the access, shall we say, to the power of God in a way which frankly would scare us. You would think at some point Yeshua would be forcing the people around him to do what he's telling them to do. Does he? No. He goes up the hill, sits himself down, and he begins to teach. You didn't create a website or, you know, just. And the people are hearing and they're coming. They're drawn to this. They're coming and sitting on the mountain, they're listening to what Yeshua is saying. We know. You know, the people around them, the numbers of followers of Yeshua after his 3 years of ministry was really high. They were just being drawn to Yeshua all the time. Drawn to him, drawn by his first followers, the 12 and their families and people that they knew and friends and whatever. I'm sure the numbers were growing. They were being drawn and attracted to this. That's what it's meant to be. He didn't force anyone. And in Yeshua is our salvation. Imagine this for 1 second. In Yeshua HaMashiach is our eternal destiny, salvation, that redemption, the price for our sin is in Yeshua. You would think, wouldn't you, at that point Yeshua would be forcing that salvation upon people. And you know what? He doesn't. He doesn't. If you don't know the Lord this morning, there is nothing we can do about it in this room. The people around who do believe, who have accepted Yeshua as Mashiach and salvation, redemption, there is nothing anyone else around you can do. You know what you need to do? You need to decide. You need to choose. No one can force you to believe. No one can force you to stay a believer. Every morning you wake up and you do your morning prayers. You choose to do it. You choose that morning to say, Lord, be Lord of my life right now. Here, again, this day. Come in now. Take my day. Be Lord. You choose. You choose. We need to yield that control to him. We were bought with a price, is what I started with all this. He's paid that price for our lives. We have been set free. We have been redeemed. And we now belong to him. And when he now says, for Eliham Mishpatim, these are the rules, and he not only has the right to do that, but if we embrace them, if we choose still, day by day, choose, if we're reading through the commandments, trying to understand, you know, what they're talking about, get the spiritual depths of each and every one of the commandments, if we choose to do this day in, day out, he will bring that change through his spirit into our lives, and we will become different people. If we become different people, we'll attract those around us and draw people in. Consecrated nation people, that's what we are. That's what we're meant to be. Will you choose? What are you going to do? Our people chose. Will you continue to choose? Will you continue to make that decision for the Lord? Day by day. Because if you do, then you will see more and more of the Lord in your life. These commandments are not to restrict you, they are to be your freedom. They are to be the freedom within which you live in through the power of Yeshua our Messiah. To do so is glory itself. I'll give the final words to King David when he said, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Some of the most beautiful words I think I've ever read in the scriptures. So simple, so beautiful. Just such a surrender from King David as he said, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Not thank you for forcing me. I delight in your will. And we need to be delighting in his will. Amen.